Before we get knee deep into learning about Shemona Esrei, and I don't want to forget about it, so I just want to begin by mentioning that this week, the entire week, the learning has been sponsored in the Zchus of a Refuah Shlema for two men who are both having serious procedures. One of them is David Herschel Ben Feiga, and the other Ben Sion Ben Chaya Golda. So I think the learning for the entire week is sponsored for their Refuah Shlema. What Rabbi Schechter mentioned to me, the interesting thing about this is that these people are not members of the Young Israel of Woodmere. So how do they come to this? How do they come to this series of shiurim? They listen online. So all the shiurim are uploaded online, and these are people who live in another city, but they listen online to the shiurim. They've been following the shiurim regularly, and because of that, they wanted a sponsor in the merit of a refuah shlema for their relatives. So refuah shlema for David Herschel Ben Feiga and Ben Sion Ben Chaya Golda. Secondly, right before we start, I just wanted to thank, obviously, Rabbi Schechter for arranging this year, the entire program. I think it was an unbelievable success. I think it was phenomenal. It was fantastic to come together to learn. You know, many of you on a daily basis, some of you on a weekly or biweekly or whatever the case might be. Just such an incredible opportunity to have shiurim going on where people could just come and learn, you know, things, topics that interest them. So I want to thank Rabbi Schechter for that. And I want to thank each of you for attending. Together, I think, Baruch Hashem, we grew in our commitment to learning about tefillah, in our davening. I know I personally grew in my own davening through studying these things. So I hope you did as well, and I want to thank you for coming to each and every shir that you did. Okay, so let's get started. I want to talk about Shemona Esrei a little bit today. And again, I emphasize a little bit, because Shemona Esrei is such a... You can give at least 19 shiurim on Shemona Esrei, you know, a shiur per bracha. But obviously we're not going to do that. We don't have time to do that right now. Maybe one day in the future, but not for right now. But so I just want to give you a taste, a sampling, a little bit about Shemona Esrei, and then we'll take it from there. I actually wanted a sitter. But I don't see them. Let me grab a sitter from the back. Okay. So let's begin. So first of all, we discussed just as an introduction, and I put this on the source sheet as source number one. But I'm not going to read it inside. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside right now because we've done it in the past, and I just want to review it briefly. But we know that at least according to the Rambam is very clear that the mitzvah of davening, Shemona Esrei, when we talk about davening, you know, in this context, certainly we're talking about Shemona Esrei, is a biblical mitzvah. It's a mitzvah mida oraisa. But at the same time, the Rambam says that just the concept of davening is mida oraisa. Everything else comes mida rabbanan. Right? There's no obligation from the Torah, any particular number of tefillos, no obligation, any particular text. Certainly not the Shemona Esrei that we have, that we say on a daily basis. That certainly did not exist from the times of the Torah, from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And as the Rambam says, the obligation basically was just to daven. That was it, daven. And the Rambam held the obligation was to daven once a day. Daven once a day, informally, just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that fulfills your obligation of davening. The one detail that the Rambam did put in is that he said that there's a requirement of Shevach, Bakasha, and Hoda. There's a three-part requirement to your prayer. You can compose the prayer on your own. But there is a requirement that it contains these three elements. Shevach is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bakasha, asking Hashem what we need, you know, for the things that we need. And then Hoda, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that He's given us. So those three elements, writes the Rambam, have to be present. But other than that, I can make up the words on my own. I can do the whole thing on my own. That was very clear in the Rambam. And the Rambam wrote, that's the way that things were from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu all the way until the times of Ezra. Until the times of Ezra and his Beis Din, as the Rambam puts it, which is a reference to the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, to the men of the Great Assembly. And at that time, writes the Rambam, what happened, and again, I'm just reviewing, I think we mentioned this in one of the earlier shiurim, but at that time, basically, after the exile, everyone, the Jews were scattered out of the land of Israel, scattered to all different neighboring countries, and people started getting confused with the language. You know, the children were born in the new countries, they didn't know Lashon HaKodesh, they didn't know Hebrew as well, so they knew a little bit of Hebrew, they knew a little bit of their native tongue, and their tefillos became confused. they weren't able to express themselves fully in Lashon HaKodesh, and we know obviously the ultimate way of davening, even though there certainly is room to daven in English to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the ultimate way of davening is in Lashon HaKodesh, in the Holy Tongue. And because of that, the rabbis of the time saw that there was davening was kind of petering out. The kids weren't into it. People weren't davening anymore because they had a hard time expressing themselves when they had to come up and compose the tfilos on their own. So because of that, writes the Rambam, Ezra and his Beis Din came along and they standardized tefillah. They created what we know as the Shmona Esrei, which means 18. It's a reference to the original 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei. We know that obviously now we have 19 brachos. One was added on, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And that was the source. That was the way that Shmona Esrei really came about. And we discussed that, listen, there are some, obviously with every institution and every decree, there are some pros and some cons. There are some benefits and some costs. You know, sometimes you lose something. And they recognized, they weren't short-sighted. They recognized the potential cost and potential downfall. In this case, things are very standardized. You know, you kind of get a little bit, quote-unquote, bored with it. And it's the same words every day, three times a day, again and again and again. And they recognized that. They understood it. And that's why they composed the prayers in a very general way, where we can really, you know, really inject our own meaning and our own understanding into the brachos. That was their intention. That's what they wanted. And because of that, and they recognized the downfalls, but they said, listen, this is what we need to do right now or else people are going to stop davening. You know, they can't express themselves, they're going to stop davening, so we have to standardize things. That way everybody will daven, the same thing, and they'll learn what it means, and they can inject their own meaning. So that's what happened. That was the history, really, of Shmona Esrei. Now, it's interesting, you know, how did this whole 18 brachos, how did it come about? You know, okay, so Ezra is based in, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah decided that it should be 18 brachos, but how did this come about? Very interesting. So if you look at source number 2, and this is a Gemara that we have not done. So the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, and I'm going to read it relatively quickly just to run through it, writes the Gemara, Tefillah Menala. How do we know this? What's the source of davening Shmona Esrei? When it says tefillah here, it's a reference to Shmona Esrei. By the way, Shmona Esrei is also referred to as the Amida. And many of us are familiar with that because you stand during Shmona Esrei. For the rest of davening, pretty much you can sit for the rest of davening. There are certain customs that we stand for certain things, Baruch Sha'amar, Yishtabach perhaps, and other things like that. There are certain customs that we stand. But in terms of the halacha, when we have to stand, that's really only Shmona Esrei. There are cases, obviously, if a person is sick or a person's traveling and they're not going to have time to daven before or after. So then there are certain allowances. A person can daven even sitting down, but at least in an ideal sense, the way it's supposed to be, we're supposed to be standing. So writes the Gemara, Tefillah Menalan, where does this whole tefillah come from? Where does the Shmona Esrei come from? The Tanya, the Braisa, states, Shimon Apakuli histir Shmona Esrei brachos lifnei Rabban Gamliel ala seder biyavne. In Yavne, before Rabban Gamliel, who was one of the Gedolei Hador, one of the giants of that generation, a gentleman by the name of Shimon Apakuli, Talmud Chacham, a rabbi by the name of Shimon Apakuli, he came along, and he's the one who instituted, who established these 18 brachos. That's what the Gemara says. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan challenges this, and he says, one second. Ve'amri l'bamasdi satana, me'a ve'esrim zekenim, u'bahem kamen avim, tiknu shimon esrei brachos ala seder. He says, one second. I remember learning when I was in yeshiva, that who established Shmona Esrei? The men of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So how can you tell me that Shimon HaPakuli, this rabbi named Shimon HaPakuli, how can you tell me he's the one who came up with it? So what happened? V'chimeachar d'meya v'esrim zekenim, 120 elders, right? That was the composition of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. V'kama mehem neviim, many of them were prophets. In the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, it wasn't just rabbis, they were rabbis and prophets, many of them. Shimon Apakuli, my hister. So what did he do? So the Gemara says, interestingly, Shachachum v'chazar v'sidrum, that they actually forgot them. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah established the 18 brachos. Interestingly enough, people forgot them. People forgot the 18 brachos. Remember, they didn't have sidurim and printing, you know, they didn't have printing the way that we have it. And people forgot the brachos. And came along a rabbi, Shimon Apakuli, and said, hey, I remember the brachos that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah established. And he came along and he reestablished them. So really, the origin is in the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. This gentleman, this rabbi, Shimon Apakuli, was instrumental in bringing them back to the Jewish people and making sure that we all knew the 18 brachos. Then the Gemara continues. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I just want to touch on it for a minute because it's fascinating. The Gemara says that once these 18 brachos were established, then we have to limit ourselves to these 18 brachos, and we can't start going off on our own, composing our own brachos. Why? Writes the Gemara in the second paragraph in source number 2, Mikan ve'elach asur l'saper b'shvachos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once these 18 brachos were established, you can't just go along and now make up your own bracha praising God. Why? Da'amar Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar says, Mai dechsiv miyamal al givuros Hashem yashmiya kol tehilaso. Who's the one who's going to speak about the wonders of Hashem? The one who can tell about all of His wonders. Lemi na'e lamal al givuros Hashem lemi sheyachol hashmiya kol tehilaso. And which one of us can claim that we are able to communicate and to express all of the wonders of Hashem? We're not going to be able to express all of the wonders of Hashem. Right? I'm sure so many of us, you know, find ourselves in situations, whether it's at a family simcha, whether it's at a base avel, rachmana litzlan, whatever the case is, when you have something that you want to express, you have something inside, you have something in your mind, something in your heart, something that you want to express to your friend, to your family member, whatever the case might be, and you just can't get it out. You don't know how to put it into words to effectively communicate that which you're thinking, that which you're feeling. It's difficult. It's difficult to do it. So would it be possible for us to possibly communicate and express all the awe that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's no way we would be able to do that. So because of that, once we have this standardized tefillah, we're limited to that standardized tefillah. Because otherwise we're gonna limit the praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. And then the Gemara ends on a fascinating note. Darash Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar giboraya ve'amri la ish kfar gibor chayil. Mai dechsiv lecha dumiya sehila. Pasuk in Tehillim writes that the true praise to you is silence. True praise is silence. What does that mean? The true praise is silence. Sama dekula mashtoka. That the elixir, the healing for everything, is silence. Now, very often we talk too much. You know, there's what people call awkward silences, right? Awkward silences, and you feel like you have to fill the void. You know, it's an awkward silence. I have to say something. You know, somebody has to say something, or else it's an awkward silence, right? It's the Gemara. It's not so simple. Silence is not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Yama, when Rav Dimi said, Amri b'ma'arava, they used to say in Eretz Yisrael, Mila b'sela, a word costs $1, mashtoka b'train, silence costs $2. I mean, silence is more precious than words. So, you know, again, very often we want to speak, we want to express ourselves, but sometimes we have to know when it's time to speak and when it's time to remain silent. Just a fast, again, a little bit of a tangent. I just thought it was such a fascinating ending. I couldn't not put it on. I'm sorry. Okay. So that's what we have here. The Gemara says very clearly that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah established the 18 brachos. Okay, people forgot them. You know, over time, people forgot them. Came along Shimon HaPakuli, a great rabbi, Shimon HaPakuli, and he reestablished the 18 brachos for the benefit of the entire Jewish nation. Now, if you notice, the language of the Gemara is that he established them al ha-seder. What's al ha-seder? What's a seder? So we know a Pesach seder. A seder means in order, right? He established them in order. So it's very interesting. The Beis Yosef here in source number 3 writes that he found in a certain Rishon by the name of the Shibolei HaLeket. He's a famous Rishon, but it's not as commonly known. He's not as commonly known as some of the other Rishonim. And the Shibolei HaLeket wrote that he found in a certain Medrash somewhere, a certain Agadah somewhere, he found that when the Gemara says that he established, that the brachos of Shemoneh Esrei were established al HaSeder, in order, so we think in order means in the order in which we find them, the 18 brachos. You know, we start with Avos, and then we move to Gevuros, etc., which we'll talk about. So he says, interestingly, the Beis Yosef says in the name of the Shibolei HaLeket, that al HaSeder really refers to the order of Jewish history. And he says each of the 18 brachos really corresponded to an event in Jewish history dating back to the times of the Torah, to the times of the Tanakh. We're not going to go through all of them now, but I just want to give you just a little bit of a taste. If you look at source number 3, writes the Beis Yosef, Kosu b'Shibolei HaLeket, Matzasi Agada Mai al HaSeder. The Shibolei HaLeket writes that I found in an Agada, I found in a Medrash. What does the Gemara mean when it says Al HaSeder, that they were established, they were instituted in order? Zeseder Olam. It's the order of creation, it's the order of Jewish history. Shekach Matzinu Yurches Brachos Shel Tfilame Olam Hayu Misukanos Zuacharzu. That really, the order of these Brachos was really predetermined because of events in Jewish history. Kevan Shebo Anshe Knesses HaGedola Kalum V'Tiknum Kesidron. So what happened? The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came along
And they established the 18 brachos in order in the tefillah that we have corresponding to those 18 events, to those events that happened in Jewish history. And again, I'm not going to go through all of them, just to give you a little bit of a taste. Kishenitzel writes the Beis Yosef, writes really the Shiboli Alekut. Kishenitzel Avraham Me'or Kastim. We know the famous story of Avraham being thrown into the fiery furnace of Nimrod. Avraham was thrown into the fiery furnace. When he was saved, Paschu Malachi Asharis Ve'amru Magen Avraham. The Malachi Asharis, the angels, opened their mouths and they said this bracha, they established this bracha of Magen Avraham, that Hashem is the shield of Avraham. He protected Avraham. That was the origin of that bracha. Again, it doesn't mean that Jews said the brachos beginning from that time, but the brachos were in existence. The Malachi Asharis introduced the concept of this bracha, and then later, with the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, they reestablished it and reintroduced it into our liturgy. Kishenekad Yitzchak Amru Mechaye HaMesim. When Yitzchak went up to Akedas Yitzchak and eventually was saved, Avram did not sacrifice his son, we know, so he was saved. Mechaye HaMesim. That's when the bracha of resurrecting the dead, so to speak. Yitzchak was almost, he was almost killed. He was almost shechted by Avraham. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved him at the last minute. Mechaye HaMesim. And I'm not going to go through the rest, but it's very interesting. It's fascinating. If you want to take a look at it, the Shiboli Alekut goes through all of the different brachos and really mentioning where they all come from, that they really have roots in great events in Jewish history. So I think it's so significant. It's fascinating that when we daven, it's not just that we're connecting to words that have been recited for centuries, but we're actually connecting to events in Jewish history, things that happened to our avos, things that happened to our imahos, things that happened to our ancestors. We're connecting to those events. We're connecting to that history when we daven. Yes. perhaps at the end, perhaps after this year, I'll just mention some of them to you. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. Now, in terms of the structure of Shemona Esrei, so we know famously that Shemona Esrei is comprised of these three elements of Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodah. Right? That very many of us know that just like the Rambam writes that even informal prayer in the beginning, from the times of the Torah, from the times of Moshe, even informal prayer had to have those elements of Shevach, Bakash, and Hodah. So then obviously when the Anshei Knesset HaGadola came along and formalized, standardized prayer, they obviously included those three same elements of Shevach, Bakash, and Hodah as well. So we know that the first three brachos are Shevach. The first three brachos we open up with praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, setting the stage. The last three brachos are Hodah. That's when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the middle section of brachos are what we call Bakasha, where we make our requests, we ask Hashem for the things that we need. That's the general framework of the Shemona Esrei. Interestingly, the Gemara in Brachos, another Gemara in Brachos, tells us in source number 4, a very interesting perspective. You know, when we think about this structure of tefillah with these three components, so the Gemara in Brachos tells us in source number 4, just a line and a half, Da'amar Rabbi Chanina, Rishonos Doma Le'evet Shemesader Shevach Lifnei Rabo. He says, imagine, just imagine the mashal, imagine the parable of a servant who's coming before his master. Has something to request of his master. So he comes before his master. You don't just start off by asking for your needs. So first, he praises the master. Oh, you're doing such a great job. I think you're doing a fantastic job. I love my job, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Right? When we think about it in our professions, you set up a meeting with the boss, you want a raise. So what do? You don't just come into the meeting and you say, I want a raise. Right? First, you have to talk about, I love working here, I love the business, you know, I love what I'm doing, I think you're a fantastic boss, you know, and then he says, okay, you know, cut to the chase. Right? But that's the idea where we're opening up with Shevach. It's a mashal, as we'll talk about in a minute. Emtsa'iyos, the middle brachos, the middle section. Dome levet shemavakish pras merabo. So now, here's where the servant requests what he needs. Here's where the servant puts in his requests, you know, I want a little bit of a raise, I want this, I want that. You know, that's when the servant puts in his request. That's bakasha, and then acharonos, the final brachos, domelevet shekibel pras mirabo v'niftar v'holichlo. So now, once the boss says, "Okay, I'll give you the raise, I'll give you the extra supplies, I'll give you whatever you need," so now, oh, thank you so much. Now he begins with thank you. He begins with his hodah, and then he exits, and then he leaves the stage. So that's really what Shemona Esrei is. Now, this is obviously only a mashal. This is only a parable. It's a metaphor, because after all, we're not, so to speak, the servant, when he's coming because he wants his raise, he wants his supplies, he wants whatever he wants, he's trying to butter up the master a little bit. He's trying to butter him up. He's trying to say, you know, make him feel good so that way he's going to give me what I want. Obviously, that doesn't happen when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First of all, our praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make him feel good, right? He's not a human being that he's going to feel good because we're praising him. We're not doing it for him. And thanking him also is not, it's not for him. He doesn't need our thanks, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It really goes back to what we discussed at the very beginning, that this is all about a relationship. It's all for us, really. It's for us to appreciate what we're doing. The more we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we appreciate that everything comes from him. So then that really sets the stage for asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we need, asking for our needs. That's only when we truly recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who grants us refuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who grants us parnasa. Only when we praise him and we recognize that all of that really comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can properly ask him for what we need. And then obviously the thanks at the end also, it's not to make Hashem feel good, you know, to thank him. Someone didn't thank me. You know, if I cooked a meal for someone and they didn't thank me, if I gave someone a gift and they didn't write me a thank you note, it's a chutzpah. They didn't thank me. Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously doesn't feel that way. But here, again, it's for us. It's for us to get into the habit of thanking someone when they give us something. It's for us to recognize after the fact that everything that we have, all the good that we have in our lives, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all for us. It's all for that relationship to create and to nurture that relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Let's begin with Shmona Esrei. I know let's begin, right? It's a half hour into the shir. Let's begin. But let's begin with Shmona Esrei. We begin Shmona Esrei. Everyone knows this. We begin by taking 3 steps back and then taking 3 steps forward. I think it's such a significant message. Why do we do that? Why do we take 3 steps back and 3 steps forward? So the concept is, and famously, you know, Yaakov Avinu, when he, you know, the famous story that Yaakov Avinu dreamt, and he dreamt about the ladder and the angels going up and the angels going down. And the question is, why are angels going up and going down? And Rashi there on the spot says that the angels that were going up were the angels that escorted him in Chutz Laaretz. I'm sorry, in Eretz Yisrael. The angels that escorted him in Eretz Yisrael, those angels had to go up. Because those same angels were not going to be the ones to escort him in Chutz Laaretz. Then the angels coming down were the new angels escorting him in Chutz Laaretz. And the idea is that every situation in which we find ourselves requires something different. So when we're in the hubbub of our regular lives, we're in our, you know, we come in, whether it's Shacharis, whether it's Mincha, whether it's Maariv, Musaf, whatever the case might be. And we're just, you know, and our lives are crazy, Baruch Hashem. Right, our lives are busy, our lives are crazy, there's so much going on in the outside world. We need to take 3 steps back to remove ourselves from everything that's going on around us, to focus on what we're doing, and then we take 3 steps forward, signifying now we're coming into a new place, even though we're standing in the exact same spot that we stood in 30 seconds ago. But those 3 steps back signify that we're moving away, we're pulling back from everything that's distracting us, we're pulling back from everything that we live with on a daily, regular basis, and now we're coming into a new zone, we're coming into a new area, we're coming into a new place where we're just going to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same place, but it's a new place. It's a changed place for the better. So that's the concept of the 3 steps. Because a person has to, we have to prepare ourselves. And very often we know when we fly into davening, something just happened. Something happened in the morning, something happened and it was upsetting, and you come into davening, it's very hard to daven. It's hard to concentrate. Something happened at work and now you come home and you have to daven mincha and it's very hard to concentrate. It's hard to focus when things are going on in our lives. And it doesn't mean that this is going to make it easy. But the concept is that we have to try to pull back mentally as much as possible. And this is not a thing that's easy in today's day and age. But we have to try to pull back, to block everything else out, and now to focus on what we have what we have to do. To focus on our mission right now, which is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's something that's hard. Especially in today's day and age, we all have our phones that are buzzing every minute. We don't have the concept, really, of being cut off from anything. Right? Baruch Hashem, we have Shabbos. But besides for Shabbos, we're always attached. We're always connected. We're always, being reminded, and things are always going on. There's no such thing as, I can't be reached right now. There's no such thing. People, if you get a text message, I know you saw my text message. You need to respond within the next 30 seconds. Right? There's no concept of, I'm not available right now. I can't respond for the next 2 hours. What were you doing for 2 hours not responding to my text message? We don't have that concept. So, but that's what we really need to engender when it comes to tefillah. We need to break away. We need to disconnect. We need to pull back. And then we reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we move back into that space just to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and just to talk to Him alone. We begin Shmona Esrei with Hashem Safasai Tiftach Ufi Agiti Ilasecha. What are we saying? Hashem, open up my mouth, open up my lips. Ufi Agiti Ilasecha, and allow my mouth to tell about your wonders. Allow my mouth to talk about your wonders. It's an interesting concept. We're asking Hashem for help to daven to him. We're asking him for help to daven to him. What does that mean? That means that we recognize that it's hard. Not only do we recognize it's hard, he recognizes that it's hard. He knows that it's hard to sit for 18, 19 brachos and to focus and to concentrate and to connect with him. He knows that that's difficult. And therefore it's built, Chazal, built into the tefillah. We begin with a short little tefillah. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, a one-liner, where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, please help me out. It's hard, I'm going to try my best, but please help me out. And there's nothing wrong with that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfectly happy with that. You know, sometimes if you have to do something for someone, they don't want you to ask for their help. They want you to do it. You know, if I would ask my wife, you know, I'm writing a nice note to my wife, Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, I say, honey, you know, what should I write? What do you mean, what should you write? You're writing me a note, right? What do you mean, what should I write? So it's the same thing here. We're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for his help. Help me daven to you effectively. Help me daven to you properly. But that's fine, because Kadosh Baruch Hu recognizes how hard it is, and he wants to help us. He wants to help us become better. He wants to help us daven better. And there's nothing wrong with davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us out with our ruchnius, with our spirituality. There are famous stories of many, many gedolim who, when learning, they had a problem, right? And they would literally open the aron in the middle of the night and start davening to Hashem to help them, you know, see the light of the sugya, understand the gemara, understand the halacha, understand the passage in Tanakh. Help me, open up my eyes. We need to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he helps us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. Okay, the first bracha, and again, we're going to move a little bit quickly, I apologize, but the first bracha is Avos. First bracha, we focus on our ancestors. We say Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKel HaGadol, HaGibor VeHanora, the great, the awesome, the mighty. It's focusing on Gomel Chasadim Tovim. Hashem is the one who does tremendous chesed for us, for our ancestors, the Kone HaKol, which means he created everything, he acquired everything. Everything in this world is his. The Zocher Chasdei Avos, he remembers the kindnesses and the goodnesses that our ancestors did, Umevi Goel, Livnei V'nehem. And because of what they did, he doesn't just reward them, but he also rewards us. We have a concept of Zechus Avos, where we can, so to speak, ride on the coattails of our Avos, of our great ancestors who did so much, who were such great people, such righteous people. We can ride on their coattails. And then we say, Umevi Goel, Livnei V'nehem, Leman Shemo B'Ahava, that it's for the sake of his name, Melech Ozeru Moshio Magen Baruch Ato Hashem Magen Avraham. And here I think it's so powerful that we think about the fact that we're connecting to the Avos. This is not just us coming and making up these words and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're connecting really to the Avos. And I think it's something that for me, and again, everybody has different feelings about these types of things, but for me, it's empowering to think that the words that I say are the same words that my grandparents said, that my great-grandparents said, that literally, that had the same words of tefillah that have been uttered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for thousands of years. These are the same words that I'm saying in the morning, in this morning, I davened in the Young Israel of Woodmere, in this beautiful show, I'm saying the same exact words that my ancestors said so many years ago. There's a connection of a tradition. And I think it's also important, that's why we begin with Avos. Because the concept is that when you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to begin with the Masorah. We have to begin with tradition. We can't just come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our own and say we're going to make up things from, you know, make up a new religion, make up new rules, make up new ideas. We come with a Masorah. Obviously, that Masorah, that tradition, is going to look different in 2015 than it did in 1915. It's going to look different, right? There are differences. However, the Masorah remains the same. The tradition, the ideas, the values, the concepts, the Torah and the mitzvos, that all remains the same. And that's why I think we begin with Avos, because we're sending the message that now we're approaching you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're approaching you through the prism of the tradition. We're approaching you through the prism of all that we come from. We're not just coming here out of the blue. We're coming in a context of a history, of a rich history, of a Jewish history with so many great ancestors before us. The second bracha is called Gvuros. Speaks about the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The focus, we know, is Mechayim Esim. Right, the resurrecting of the dead, as we mentioned. Atah Gibor Le'olam Hashem. Hashem is mighty. Mechayim Esim Atah Rav LeHoshia. And we end the bracha. We conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayei HaMesim. Because there's no greater might than resurrecting of the dead. There are strong people in today's world. There are powerful people in today's world. They can do many things. But there's one thing that no one can ever do, and that's to resurrect the dead. No one can ever bring back our loved ones who are no longer here. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can do it. So that's a certain might, a certain power, a certain gvura that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world at any time in history. And that's the gvura that we focus on as the prototypical gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we focus on other things as well. We write, Somech Noflim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks up those, he supports those who have fallen, and some of these things we spoke about when we discussed Birchos HaShachar. Again, it can mean physically fallen, it can mean spiritually fallen, people who have fallen mentally, you know, whatever the case might be. Anytime a person is struggling, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports them. V'rofei Cholim, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals those who are sick. Umatir Asurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu releases those who were in prison. And again, we discussed that a little bit when we discussed Birchos HaShachar. Umekayim Emunaso Lishene Afar, again, a reference to Mechayim Esim, a reference to resurrecting the dead, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep his promise, so to speak, to all those who have passed away. He's going to bring them back when the time is right. Michamocho Baal Gevuros Umidomelach, who's like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's no one similar to you at all. Melech Meimis Umechayim Umatzmiach Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes those lives from us in this world, but then he brings them back. He brings them back and he causes the Yeshua to come. This is also a very comforting bracha. You know, obviously, at some point in our lives, you know, we go through the loss of a loved one, hopefully much later than earlier. But you know, at some point in our lives, we suffer the loss of a loved one, whether it was a parent, a sibling, or whatever the case might be. We suffer that loss. And this is really a comforting concept. They're going to come back. Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing them back. One day we're going to be rejoined with them. The whole concept of Mechayim Esim. But we mention it every day. We mention it every day in Shemona Esrei. The third bracha is called Kedusha. Kedusha Hashem, Kedusha, where we focus on the holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ata Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh. Hashem, you're holy, your name, and we discussed in the past that a name represents the attributes of Hashem, the way that we recognize Hashem. Everything about you, your essence, and all of your expression. It's just Kedusha, it's pure holiness. Ukidoshim b'chol yom yahalalu chasela. And the holy ones, the holy people, the holy people of our nation, also every day praise you. Baruch atah Hashem hakel kadosh. I always found this to be also fascinating, that we say Ukidoshim b'chol yom yahalalu chasela. Think about it. There are plenty of very righteous people out there in this world. You know, listen, we may not be one of them. You know, we're working on it. We're trying. But there are big people. There are big rabbis, there are big rabbitsins, there are holy people out there in this world. And they're saying the same exact Shemona Esrei as we're saying. And part of what we're communicating here is we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to try. I'm going to try my best to communicate your Kedusha, to communicate your holiness. I'm going to try my best to praise you, to thank you, to ask you for what I need. I'm going to try my best. But I may not succeed 100%. But listen, know that there are those holy people out there who are really doing it. And they're probably doing it a little bit better than me. So I want to ride on their coattails as well. And part of the concept, you know, just like we wrote it, we started Shemona Esrei by riding on the coattails of the Avos. Here too, we're riding on the coattails of the holy people. Kadosh Baruch Hu, keep in mind, we're trying our best. We're trying our best to emulate those people, but you know it's hard for us. But at least you know that there are some really holy people out there who are being successful at what they're doing, and we're trying to connect to that which they're doing as well. That's the bracha of Kedusha. We have the bracha of Atachonim. So those were the first three brachos. That was the concept of Shevach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we mentioned, different aspects of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We praise Him, and that sets the stage. Once we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of our Avos, He's the one who's done kindnesses for us from today, from yesterday until today. He's the one who's going to resurrect the dead. He's the Holy One that's the source of all Kiddush in this world. Now we recognize a little bit about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We're ready to connect with Him. Now we're ready to ask Him for what we need. Now we're ready to begin the middle section, that section of Bakasha, and ask Him for all of our needs. Just as an aside, many know this, but the halacha is, it's a real halacha, that at the end of every bracha in this section, you can add in whatever you want. So you said you were about to talk about the bracha of Bina, the bracha of Atachonin La'adam Das, which talks about wisdom and understanding. You can add in your own little prayer at the end, right before the conclusion of each bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, right before that conclusion. Add in your own little tefillah. You can do it in Hebrew, you can do it in English if you want. We'll talk about later, Shema Koleinu is the catch-all, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But really, every bracha, it's appropriate to add in your tefillos to every single bracha before that conclusion. Add in your tefillos. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that pertains to your life, something that's meaningful to you. Add it in. The first bracha is the bracha of bina, the bracha of understanding of wisdom. Ata chonein la'adam das, you grant wisdom, you grant understanding to mankind. Umelamed la'enosh bina, and you give him understanding. Again, different terminologies. Das is really wisdom. Bina is understanding. As we say, women have the bina yisera. Then they have that extra little understanding, that understanding of how people work, how the world works, that men don't always have. Chaneinu me'itecha deya bina v'haskel, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us. Give us that wisdom. Give us that understanding. Give us that intellect where we can analyze things properly and we can understand things. Baruch atah Hashem chonein hadas. And again, we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're asking Him for this understanding. And this is obviously necessary if we're learning Torah, if we're attending a shir. We have to understand what the rabbi is talking about. We have to understand what Tanakh is talking about, what the Mishnah, what the Gemara. We have to understand what we're learning. So that's certainly true. And obviously, if kids are in school, this is like the most important bracha. Atachonin l'adam das. You know, we have a test every day. We got to think. Atachonin l'adam das. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me remember what I studied for my test. Help me, help me do everything effectively. You know, so that for sure is the most important bracha. But even if we're not in the context of a school, and even if we're not, you know, it's a day when we don't have the opportunity to learn in a formal way. But we still, every step of every moment of our day, we need bina. We need understanding. We need wisdom. Right? Just interpersonal relationships to make sure I say the right thing and don't say the wrong thing. Right, I'm about to go out to lunch with my friend. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, help me out. Make sure I know this friend needs a little pick me up. Put the right words in my mouth, then I can help my friend out. You know, I know that a person is a little bit sensitive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, please hold my tongue and make sure that I don't say something that offends this person. I know they're a little bit sensitive, and all those things. It depends on our understanding. It's all bina. Chonein means to graciously give something. Yeah, the Art School translated, you graciously endow. That's why I like the Art School. You know, they have that great translation, Baruch Hashem. So that's the concept of wisdom. It's necessary for everything that we do, every decision in life. If we think about it, life is really a series of decisions. Some of them obviously more major than others. You know, if you're thinking about it, 9 o'clock. You know, where should I go for breakfast today? Should I go to Crawford's or should I go to Giant Bagel or whatever the case is? So those are minor decisions. Those are minor decisions. I think that, you know, lunch may be more serious, but breakfast at least is minor decisions. But then there are major decisions in life. And we always need that wisdom, we need that understanding to make those decisions properly. You know, to make those decisions properly. So that's what we daven in the bracha of Bina. The second bracha is the bracha of Tshuva, which is something that certainly, right, Elul is upon us. We're blowing shofar every morning. We're reciting the David Hashem Ori at the end of davening. Tshuva's already it's in our sight. It's on the horizon. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. And again, this is something that harkens back to that Hashem sefasai tiftach, where we daven that Hashem helps us serve Him. That's what we're davening, right? And here too, we're davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me do tshuva. Right? Help me do tshuva. Again, can you imagine a person, you know, chas v'shalom, you insulted your friend. I know it happens once in a while. Right? You insulted your friend. So now you and your friend are, you know, you have a little bit of an issue. You have to kind of work it out. Can you come to your friend and say, you know, help me make up with you? What do you mean help you? Again, it's the same thing. What do you mean? You know, you did something wrong. You messed up. So fix your mistake. Don't come to me looking for help. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Come to me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you right the wrong. I'm going to help you straighten yourself out. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. We daven to Hashem. Return us, please, our Father. Bring us back to your Torah, v'karveinu malkeinu l'avodasecha, and bring us close, v'karveinu, bring us close to your service. So here also, we focus first of all on the dual relationship, avinu and malkeinu. Hashem is our Father and Hashem is our King. We focus on that dual relationship, which we're about to say in the period of the Yomim Noraim, we say the avinu malkeinus, the whole litany of avinu malkeinus. And also we focus on Torah and avoda. It's not just Torah that's important, it's Torah and avoda. It's Torah and tefillah. It's our service of Hashem in general. And also we daven to Hashem, you know, help our tshuva be complete. Sometimes we do tshuva, you know, but it's a little bit half-hearted. You know, maybe usually we do tshuva and it's a little bit half-hearted. You know, it's 50%, 60%, you know, maybe every year we get a little bit higher. You know, this year it's going to be 75%, but it's never really tshuva shalema. You know, it's never really, I'm never really doing complete tshuva. We daven to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us do complete tshuva. Baruch atah Hashem harotzeh b'tshuva. Hashem wants our tshuva. Hashem wants us to be close. Hashem is not upset when we do things wrong. It's not like He's upset and He's insulted and He, you know, forget it, I'm not talking to you anymore. You know, that doesn't exist when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shouldn't exist when it comes to people either. But it certainly doesn't exist when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzeh b'tshuva. He wants our tshuva. He wants the relationship. Okay, we messed up. We did something wrong. No, I'm going to help you fix it. I'm going to help you right the wrong. Just ask me. Ask me and put in the effort, and I'm going to help you do it. Right? Chazal tell us, "Bederech she'adam rotzeh leilech b'molichin haso." If you show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you really want something, and you're trying for it, He's going to help you. He's going to help you. We believe in Judaism, we believe in the effort. We don't just believe in results. We believe in results also. You have to produce. You have to do what you're supposed to do. You have to follow the mitzvahs. You have to daven. You have to do what you're supposed to do. But also we believe in effort. As a teacher, at least in Limudei Kodesh, I have the ability to, I tell my students, I said, I believe in effort. I believe in effort. I'm not going to give you 100 if you didn't produce anything. But if I see that a kid is working hard, a kid is trying to be successful, so I'm going to reward them for that effort. It's not just about, the results are important. Results are very important. But it's not just about the results. In Judaism, we believe it's also the effort, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants to see our effort. Then we daven, then we have the bracha of Slicha. Bracha number 6, the bracha of Slachlanu. Slachlanu avinu ki chatanu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please forgive us, which is something we're going to be talking about a lot in the coming days, in the coming couple of months, a month and a half or so. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His forgiveness. Mechallanu malkenu ki fashanu. Different types of sins, whether it was intentional sins or unintentional, or malicious or not malicious, and different types of forgiveness as well. There's some forgiveness HaKadosh Baruch Hu just says, listen, okay, you did it, I'm going to look the other way. It's still there, it's still a little bit of a stain, but I'm going to look the other way. And then there's the type of forgiveness where HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wipes the slate clean, that it's as if nothing happened. Right? So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're referring to the both of those types of forgiveness. Ki mochel v'soleach ata. That's what Hashem is. He forgives us. That's what He's about. Again, He doesn't hold a grudge. He doesn't have it in for us. He's still talking to us. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to forgive us. Baruch ata Hashem chanun amar beli slovach. I think also it's important. You know, we obviously focus a great deal on this during the Yomim Noraim. But here we're saying it every day. We're saying it 3 times a day. Because every day we do things wrong. Now, I don't want to get you all depressed that every day we're just a bunch of lowlives, you know, doing things wrong. But the point is that our lives should be lives of introspection. We should lead lives where we have our eyes open and we recognize what we're doing and how we're doing it. And if we think about our day, every single day, there are things that we could do better. The Mesilas Yesharim famously says that when a person does introspection, it's not just what aveiros did I do today and what mitzvos did I do. But even the good things that I did, even the mitzvos that I did, was there any way that I can make them better? So introspection and slachlanu is not just about the big averos that today, you know, today I robbed the bank, right? It's not just about the big averos that we have to ask Hashem for forgiveness. But it's also about the minor things and the thing, how can I make everything better? I did a chesed today, how can I do that chesed a little bit better tomorrow? That also requires a slachlanu. It's not a terrible avera, obviously, I did a chesed. But if I can do it a little bit better, I should try to do it a little bit better and ask Hashem to forgive me for that nuance of a chisan, that nuance of a lacking in my service. If I did something good, but I had ulterior motives, I gave a big donation. But listen, I wanted the Rabbi Polakoff wing. That's why I gave that big donation, right? So I had a little bit of an ulterior motive. So that's also a slachlanu. I did something good. I gave a big donation to my shul, but I had a little bit of an ulterior motive. So everything in life, we always have to lead lives of introspection, always thinking about how we can do things better, how we can avoid the big problems, but also how we can even make all those little things even a little bit better. The next bracha we say is Geula, Re'eina ve'anyenu. Now, interestingly, if you think about the placement of this bracha, it's really in the context of all of the personal bakashos, it's all of the personal requests. So here, the Geula that we're referring to is not really the ultimate Geula, where Hashem is going to take us all back to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We reference it, you know, it's included in that, but it's more of a personal focus. We're going to focus more on the national Geula a little bit later in Shmona Esrei. But here it's more of a personal focus. And we say, Re'eina v'anyenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at our affliction. Look at our lives, and we all have, unfortunately, we all have tzaros in our lives, whatever the tzaros may be. Again, whether it's parnasa, whether it's shiduchim, whether it's health, whatever the case is, everybody has something, either themselves or a family member or a close friend who's going through something terrible, going through something very, very challenging. And part of what we're saying here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at all of our affliction. Look at all the tzaros that we have. This is why we need the Geula, because of our personal tzaros that we have. Of course, we need the Geula for a national reason, because B'nai Yisrael, Klal Yisrael needs the Geula. But we also need the Geula because I don't want to deal with this anymore. We also need the Geula because the Geula will make everything better. We'll make all of our tzaros disappear, personal tzaros as well as communal tzaros. So that's here, the focus is on the personal, where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'riva Rivenu, fight our fight, U'galenu Meheru L'man Shemecha, and redeem us quickly for the sake of your name, Ki Goel Chazakata, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael. So it's a reference to the Geula, but here the focus is on the personal, my personal challenges, my personal struggles, and how the Geula will help those struggles, because it will. Obviously, once the Geula comes, all of our personal struggles will be helped. The next bracha we say is the bracha of refuah. This bracha really needs no discussion, no introduction, because unfortunately it's something that it always pertains to us. And again, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, we always know someone who needs a refuah. And this is the bracha that really discusses it. I just want to mention that this is really the place to daven for those people who are sick. You know, it's become popular to recite a mishaberach in shul. And you know, then the shuls have to grapple with decorum. They have a long list of 150 mishaberach names. And you know, when they're saying the mishaberach, everybody's talking, and it's a big problem. And different shuls adopted different things. That's all nice and good, but the mishaberach is not the best place to daven for someone. The best place to daven for someone is in Refa'inu. And it doesn't mean that you should have a list of 150 names when you daven Shmona Esrei. You'll be davening Shmona Esrei the whole day. Right, but the people that you know, the people that are close to you, that you know them personally, you know that they need a refuah. Here is the best place to daven for them. So again, I'm not going to go through the whole bracha because it's something I think that unfortunately we are very familiar with. But just it's important to keep in mind that this is really the best place to daven for all those people in need. You say it. So if you look, if you look in the art school center, they have it. Many siddurim they have it. At the bottom of the page, this is the bracha of Refa'inu. At the bottom, there's a little gray box. And in that gray box, there's the Yehi Ratzon that you recite where these two little circles are, right before Kikel Melech Rofeinu Eman. There's a little Yehi Ratzon where you can put in, you can insert the names of men and women who need a refuah shleima. This is the best place to do it. So if you're using an art scroll siddur, it's right here printed in the siddur. Many siddurim, even non-art scroll, have it printed in the siddur, but it's right here, and this is the best place to do it. To mention those names in here, it's even better. Mishaberach is nice, but this is even better than Mishaberach because it's your personal tefillah to Hashem. Okay, then we recite Birchas Hashanim, right? Birchas Hashanim, Barech Aleinu. This is the bracha for Parnasa, where we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Parnasa. Also, something that I think that we all, you know, have kavana for this bracha, because this is something that pertains to all of us. I still remember as a child, or young adult, or whatever the case might be, where I wasn't yet faced with the issues of Parnasa. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, I had my father who was helping me, and I didn't think about it. So, you know, you work on Shmona Esrei as a young adult. You're working on having Kavanah Shmona Esrei, and I still remember feeling a big disconnect for this bracha. Barech Aleinu, you know, my father gives me what I need. He pays my tuition. He gives me money if I need it. You don't recognize the Barech Aleinu. But Baruch Hashem, now it's I Baruch Hashem recognize it fully, but. But you're ready, but it's a thing that takes maturity. It takes, you know, just coming into the world. Even children who are davening well have a very hard time with this bracha because it doesn't relate to them at all. They don't understand the concept of parnasa. Once you're out in the world and you have to pay bills and you have to pay tuition, so then you begin thinking about these things, and it certainly is very meaningful. Okay, now we begin the brachos of the general, more communal brachos, and I have to hurry a little bit. I know the time is ticking down. We begin by Kibbutz Golios, Tekab Shofar Gadol. So we're blowing the shofar now in Elul, but here the reference is to the great shofar, the big shofar, not big in size, but the great significant shofar blast that we're going to hear when Mashiach comes. So this is really the bracha where we begin to discuss, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to gather in all of the exiles, all of us who are here in America and the people in France and the people in Australia, all over the world, are going to come together to converge on Eretz Yisrael, converge on Yerushalayim, when that time, Imheir V'Yameinu comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Mashiach. The next bracha we say is the bracha of Din, Hashiva Shofteinu Kvarishona. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reinstate our Jewish judges. Now, we have Jewish judges nowadays. We have Batei Din. We have rabbis who can sit on cases and they can adjudicate cases. But at the same time, we know that we're still subject to the laws of the land. We live in America, we're subject to the secular law, we're subject to the secular justice system, and that's not ideal for us as Jews. Ideally, we would love to live our lives according to the Torah, and the Torah governs all aspects of life. We have a whole section of Shulchan Aruch called Choshen Mishpat, business law. We have many, many laws that govern businesses. We don't need the secular law necessarily. Here we live in America, we're bound by it, we have to obviously abide by the laws, and we're bound by those laws. But we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should once again see that day, where we have Jewish judges and Batei Din, proper Batei Din, who can adjudicate all of our cases, and when we have a dispute, we'll take it to that Beis Din, instead of taking it to, you know, secular court or whatever the case might be. So this is something that we daven for, included in that Geula, but a focus on justice, a focus on that aspect. We then recite the Birchas Haminim V'lam Alshinim. Now this bracha is the 19th bracha. It's not really the 19th, but this was the added bracha, which came much later. And this bracha was added in the times of Rabban Gamliel, this bracha was added to really deal with the growth of the heretics. And there were many heretics at that time, many people who were trying to discount our faith, to discount Judaism. And this special bracha was inserted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us fend off the attackers of our faith, to fend off those who want to undermine the Jewish religion, who want to undermine the Jewish faith. Unfortunately, today as well, we have people out there who are still trying to attack our faith, trying to attack our tradition, our Mesorah. It's outdated. It's, you know, the Torah is outdated. The mitzvahs are outdated. Chas v'shalom. And this is something that we still have to daven for. We still have to daven that all of those attackers, so to speak, who want to really, you know, would love to see the day when nobody's practicing the Torah or the mitzvahs, chas v'shalom, that they're not successful in their endeavors, and that we have the strength and the courage to resist those attacks and to really maintain our religion. We recite the bracha of tzaddikim, where we talk about the fact that all the tzaddikim who are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one very important line here, we say, V'lo nevosh ki v'cha batachnu. We say, we daven that we should not be embarrassed because we trust in Hashem. Such a powerful line. We shouldn't be embarrassed because we trust in Hashem. Think about a college student on a secular campus, right? Who's trying to hold on to their faith, trying to hold on to their observance in the face of an onslaught. In the academic world, there's an onslaught against, your faith is crazy, your faith is outdated, your values are outdated, everything's outdated. And literally, facing an onslaught, especially in the academic world, it's a little bit less so in once people get out of that world, but even in the outside world, in the professional world, it can still exist. And we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us the strength and the courage to fend all that off. Give us that strength and the courage to fend all of it off and to really not be embarrassed because of our faith. We daven then Binyan Yerushalayim. We daven every day, three times a day, forward to see the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And again, that Yerushalayim should be a Binyan Olam, that it should be an everlasting Yerushalayim, a Yerushalayim that will never again be destroyed, and a Yerushalayim that will be focused on spiritual pursuits. Baruch Hashem, we have a beautiful Yerushalayim today, but it's incomplete. We're missing a big chunk of it. And not only is it incomplete, but it's also Yerushalayim that has unbelievable spirituality in Ruchnius, and has a lot of other stuff also, which is not necessarily the best. It's a regular metropolitan city, you know, in today's day and age. So we daven that it should be an everlasting city, but also a city that's completely focused on spirituality, completely focused on a connection to Hashem. Then we daven for Malchus Beis David, as Tzemach David Avdecha, that Hashem should help the sprout of David, his servant, and again bring Mashiach. The next bracha is Kabbalah's Tefillah Shema Koleinu, where this is the catch-all bracha, where we daven to Hashem that all of our tefillos should be accepted. And here also, a person can insert any tefillah right after Rekamal Teshiveinu. You see there's another two dots there. Okay, you can insert any tefillah that you like. The art scroll, again, has some gray boxes, some suggested tefillos to insert under certain circumstances. But you can insert any tefillah that pertains to you, that pertains to your life. If it's meaningful to you, put it in there. And that's Shema Koleinu, that's the catch-all bracha. We then have the final three brachos, Avoda, Hoda, what we call Hoda, which is Modim, and Sim Shalom. Shalom, right? Shalom or Shalom Rav, Sim Shalom or Shalom Rav, depending on, you know, when you're davening. And I'm just finishing in the last 2 minutes here, that these three brachos are really the Hoda. This is where we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We thank Him for all that He's given us. There are still some prayers in here. There are some requests, but they're communal requests. The request that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the requests for world peace. You know, there are some communal requests and general requests, but the focus is on thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that we have. Modim is, you know, obviously whenever we have something significant in our lives, we say Modim with a little extra kavana. But the goal is to try to say Modim with a little extra kavana every day. Because every day when we look at our lives and we look at all the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, you know, we really can feel that Modim. So that's part of the intention here. I want to conclude just with the bracha of Sim Shalom. There's a very interesting chazal, and we don't have time to read it inside, but the Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah, in Parsha Shoftim, actually this week's Parsha, believe it or not, I didn't even realize that, I just realized. This week's Parsha, the Medrash tells us that Shalom, peace, is so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to end everything with peace. If you think about it, says the Medrash, Kriya Shema ends with peace. We say, Pores Sukkah Shalom. This is in Maariv. We end with that bracha, with the bracha of peace. When it comes to Shmona Esrei, the last bracha is the bracha of Shalom, the bracha of peace. When it comes to Birkas Kohanim, the holy blessing that the Kohanim bestow upon us, the Yaseim Lecha Shalom, it also ends with peace. Peace and Shalom is such an integral part of Judaism. And this is how we end Shmona Esrei. that we want peace. We want peace in the world. We want peace between people. And unfortunately today, there's so much machlokas, and everybody, you know, everybody's walking around insulted with a chip on their shoulder and bearing a grudge. This is not the way it's supposed to be. We end this bracha with peace because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants. He wants us, we can disagree. We can disagree strongly with people. But we should be able to respect them as people, to recognize that they have a right to their opinion, and to really be at peace with people and try to always make up. And as obviously as we approach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's a perfect time to think about this, to think about Shalom, and it's really the appropriate time to reconnect with not only with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but with also people, and try to iron out all those differences and all those wrinkles. Once again, I thank you all for coming to all of the Shiurim. I'm sorry that we had to rush at the end, and please feel free to use the sheets. Feel free to look more into it, and Mirza Shem will look forward to growing with you over the coming years in the Five Towns area. Everyone have a wonderful day.